Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here again. And I say that 40 is the new 20. I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed at all. We are the Price family. This is a picture of me wearing shorts. Also included is my son Justice, my wife Katie, and our smiley little girl Eliana. We've been missionaries in Ukraine for a total of about 14 years, and this church has partnered with us for about 12 years. I'm feeling a little lightheaded suddenly. Can I have a glass of water? Before I move on, I always forget to say at the end, if you'd like to receive our prayer updates, thank you. You can do that. This never happened to me before. I feel a little lightheaded. Sorry. I'll just do the whole thing from here. New experience for all of us, I bet. It's like I'm about to get a shot at the doctor. That's what I feel like. Two. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, this is very, yeah.
This 40-minute lesson I had planned anyway. So, not really. Well, while Brendan kind of collects himself, collects himself, let me just share with you a few announcements that I was going to make at the end of services anyway. This is the last day for us as a congregation to register for our congregational retreat. And so if you're wanting to go to the retreat, then you need to do so. Even if you don't plan on going and staying overnight, if you plan on coming up and having a meal or enjoying a meal, then certainly please sign up anyway, because we have to have a number count for those who are going to be eating up there, so we can have meals that are prepared for you. So this is the last day for signing up for that retreat. That's only 2 weeks away. For those of you who attended our grief seminar last weekend, our books, Beyond the Valley of the Shadow of Death, is here now. So we have that ready for you. And if you want one, then you can certainly take advantage of that. Number three is Mom's Care Clinic. Mom's Care Clinic is where we're going to serve our community and some of the single moms that are in our area, changing their oil and washing their car and vacuuming their car and just treating them in just kind of a gold label kind of way. And so that's going to happen on August the 12th. And if you'd like to be involved in that in any way, then certainly see Clint Davison, and he can kind of give you some direction and how you can get more involved in that. And then when it comes to the congregational retreat, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's like 250 people that are signed up for going up at the retreat. Plenty of room still, but like 250 people. And as a result of that, all our streamers are going to be up there rather than down here. And so for those of you who are viewing us online, there will not be a live streaming on that Sunday morning 2 weeks from now, okay? So those are some announcements. You think you're ready? Okay.
Here we go. It's never happened to me before, so that was very interesting. I'm glad to be here. We're glad to be here. I want to share. People for the last year and a half have been asking pretty much just two questions. How's Ukraine and how are you? How's your family? And so I'm going to try to answer those questions today. But really, honestly, right off the bat, I want to share with you that this last year and a half has been a very, very difficult time for our family. And every time I do share and tell a little bit about what's been going on, it's, you know, reliving it to a certain extent. And so I just ask for your patience in that and understanding in that, because I'm going to share a lot of encouraging things with you. And those things are real. They're not hyped. They're for real. But behind that and behind every picture you'll see is a lot of pain and a lot of heartache right now. To give a little bit of a... Turn this on. Is that right? Yeah. Learned that from Art on Wednesday. little bit of a recap of our journey. We evacuated Ukraine the day the war began, February 24th of last year, just past the 500-day mark, just a little while ago since the war began. And we went to Poland. We went to a church in the north of Poland. It was an arrangement we had made ahead of time in case something happened. The church said, you know, your family can come here. And we ended up going there when the war started, and the church was ready with location, and we were ready with a lot of phone calls and names of people who needed help. And so along with that congregation and eventually some of our staff from the Ukrainian Bible Institute, we helped start a humanitarian aid program in the city of Sopot, Poland, and that work there continues. It was terrible. It was exhausting. We suddenly were working 18-hour, 20-hour days. People were calling and texting all times of day and night from all over the world asking how they could help or telling us about the help that they needed. And we went through a lot of emotions. Our family really struggled going through that time. We were there for a little over 2 months and then made our pre-scheduled trip to the States in the summer. And during that time, made peace with the idea that the war is not going to be over soon, and so we need to decide where we want to be and how the school's going to move forward during this time. And through a lot of prayer and thinking, we decided to move to Slovakia. So that's where Kyiv is right there on the map in Ukraine, and we initially went to Poland up there on the Baltic Sea. And now we are right here in the city of Košice, Slovakia. It's about an hour and a half from the Ukrainian border. It allows us to go in and out for different things, which is a huge blessing both for us and for the help we're able to bring. And simply staying connected to the Bible Institute that I work with, it allows us to be in nearly the same time zone and be more involved than simply trying to do it from here 9 hours behind. This has been, like I said, a very difficult year for us, and we are thankful that we've had a lot of great people around, a lot of great supporters around us, but then even a lot of resources given to us. We were spent time with a trauma counselor a little bit last summer and have remained in contact with her. And it was just a year with one thing after another happening to us and to the people around us. And then, as many of you might remember from our call in November, we ended the year on a high with an addition to our family, our little baby girl. That's what she looks like most of the time. That scowl at the beginning, I don't know what that was. But she is 9 months old and loving life, and we are so happy to have her. Justice just completed his kindergarten year, homeschooling, and is doing great, learning a lot, and he is a fantastic big brother who loves his little sister so much. So that was a fantastic way to end a chaotic year, though I will say that was kind of a chaotic way to end a chaotic year as well. But it was a good chaotic. We've been in Slovakia since the beginning of January. The church there has been wonderful. They were very excited to have us. They said, we have a building we don't use much during the week. We could give you some office space. You could work from there. And it's a very tiny congregation. This is a Sunday morning. And they have been just over the top welcoming and glad to have us. This is a little office space we have set up there. And in addition to that, we have a new family working with the Ukrainian Bible Institute, a new American family. This is the Heinemann family. They only have 7 kids. but, you know, they're probably not done yet, so don't worry. We've known them for years. We worked with them for years in Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine. And we brought them on, invited them to join the Institute because Rob is a fantastic teacher, a fantastic thinker, and is also a web designer, web builder, and he's helping us with having the school online, which is what we're doing now. So we're glad that they are with us as well. So how's Ukraine? I don't really hear much about it in the news anymore. Are things getting better? No. Things are getting worse. It's awful. The war is still raging, and every day there is death, and every day there is some sort of surprise problem, like the explosion of the dam. I don't know if you heard about last month, where there was just flooding in the total of South Ukraine, destroying houses and fields, and lots of people died. And it's just every day is bad news. The last 5 nights in the city of Odessa, Ukraine, have been bombing missiles throughout the night, destroying infrastructure, destroying grain. That's having a direct result on the price of grain around the world, because Russia is destroying a big source of that, or trying to. It's not good. And so it's hard to deal with that day after day, and then it's weird to I know for you to know that something's going on over there, but you're not always hearing about it much. So I just want you to know, don't stop praying, don't stop being in prayer about this, and that it will come to an end. However, interestingly, when things are the darkest, a lesson I've learned is it's not that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There are lights in the tunnel. The darker the days are, the brighter even the dimmest lights are. And there are so many beautiful lights working through the churches and the believers around Ukraine. And so I want to tell you about how the school has been a part of that, interacting with that. This last year, UBI completed its 26th year as a Bible Institute. I've been the director only for the last 4. And we were 100% online. Of course, when the war started, classes were canceled. And so that was in February, and we didn't start class again until September. But as we approach September, the war's still raging, but people have kind of gone where they're going to go, settled more or less where they are, and our students were saying, when can we get back to the classroom? And so we started what I've been calling just UBI Lite. Instead of their 3 classes all day long curriculum, we were just doing 1 class an afternoon, which allowed us the flexibility to have classes canceled because of power outages, attacks on infrastructure, and gave us a lot more flexibility and kind of step into, is this going to work? How's this going to go? And so we did actually add 4 new students, which was a pleasant surprise, not really sure what to expect last September, and several auditors from Ukrainians joining us from around the world. And our focus was just to get our second year students out the door, because they were supposed to graduate a year ago in May. Classes were canceled. We're only doing 1 class a day now, so we were trying to get them finished and get them out. No more. Even though classes stopped, though, UBI has always been a conduit of benevolence work. And of course, there was a lot to do when the war began. And the war has multiplied our opportunities and multiplied our reach, resources in unimaginable ways. So from the very beginning, the Sunset International Bible Institute, which is a close partner of the Ukrainian Bible Institute, began collecting funds, being a center for funds, and they made those funds immediately available to us for whatever needs were coming up. And at the very beginning, these funds were going everywhere for whatever. Someone's like, minister says, I need a van. Kids needed tablets to be able to connect with their classes now that they had evacuated to different cities. Medicines for people, supplies, medical supplies for cities that just ran out of everything and prices went crazy high if they had the thing at all. And so it was just like putting out fires everywhere with the needs. But as time went on, we needed to find a focus, and the chaos of all of the tragedy was settling. And found more of a direction, and I am part of a small group of people who help direct these funds through the Sunset Church and through UBI's work. And one of the primary ways we use those funds now is through a ministry one of our staff members developed through our congregation back in Kyiv, where we were before we evacuated, put together a team of men who started delivering groceries to people who needed them, areas that needed it. And that ministry started small, but has grown exponentially. So here's a map of Ukraine. This area on the right, that's where all of the ground battles are happening. The missiles are flying everywhere, but that's where all the fighting is taking place. And our network of churches we're working with and reaching out to help with supplies so that they can reach out to others has grown to around 40 consistent, constant locations, delivering about 2,200 grocery bags a month, which turns into about 6,000 meals a day. These are being taken to churches, for the most part, in these cities, in these points that you see, given to ministers that are there, and then they decide how to use them, how to distribute them, and it's been a very empowering ministry that we're not directing every piece, but we're supplying them with what they need to do the work that they feel needs to be done in their area. And this continues to grow, and some of the locations are like, we only need like 20 bags, so, you know, it's fine. And then as the months go on, they're like, we need 100, 200, send as many as you can send us. So people are grateful for that, and it has really brought a unity among a lot of churches, even among churches that didn't have a lot of unity before. And so I'm very grateful for this ministry. A lot of churches have shut their doors since the war began, simply because everybody left. You know, the whole, even the ministers, you know, everybody's gone. And then over time, some have returned, but many, many churches, especially in the East, they're just not there anymore because of the war. So people ask, how are the Ukrainians doing? How is the faith of the Ukrainians? Their faith is an example to me in so many ways, an example to the world, I believe, because it would be logical when you lose everything that you own and sometimes everyone that you love, it would be logical that you would maybe move away from God. Be angry with God. Let your questions of why just take the joy away. People that lost their jobs, their belongings. But we've heard time and again how grateful Ukrainians are, these are faithful brothers and sisters, that God spared them, saved them, despite the challenges in their life. Let me go back. I missed this slide. I'm sorry. These are the grocery packages that are being delivered. And the picture on the right is the church we worked with, the church building we worked with in Kharkiv, which was empty since the beginning of the war until about 5 or 6 months ago when a few people came back. And now they're having 70 to 80 people on a Sunday coming. Yes, a lot of them coming for what they're getting, but a lot are staying for what they're hearing. And this is just one story that we're hearing, you know, this is one example that we're hearing is happening all over Ukraine. And all because we're giving out a bag of groceries for a month. And then we've been reaching out to specific needs. When the dam was destroyed, they were in need of water, they were in need of emergency supplies. We sent some inflatable rescue boats down there. And our team is doing wonderful things. So here are some refugees, except these are refugees that I've known for years, because these are members of our congregation in Kyiv. And that was a weird thing at the beginning of this war we're not working with refugees, we're working with Olya and Larissa and Luda. Those aren't refugees, those are our friends. And it took me weeks before I even felt comfortable taking their picture because it felt so like I was exploiting them. You know, I couldn't take the pictures. I couldn't make the reports. And yet, you see in these pictures, big smiles, because their faith has grown through this instead of been discouraged and pushed them away. And it's a perspective that catches your attention. Those who've lost everything but praise God that he spared their life and that I just happened to not be home when the missile hit my house, isn't that wonderful? It's a perspective that catches your attention. And to hear someone who lost their entire house, just was in a terrible situation, and then weeks later teaching a Bible class on how the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Men who have been separated from their families, sent their wives and their children into Europe to be safe, but they praise God that they have an opportunity to serve in a way they've never been able to serve before. One man who was a believer told me about how he only now truly understands what it means to fully rely on God. When he and his wife were trapped in a basement for weeks and running out of food, and then food just happened to come at the exact time. And when they were evacuating and people said, no, you can't evacuate, it's too dangerous and there's no cars running, and then a car shows up, and that day, for whatever reason, things were safe. And he says, now I know what it means to fully rely on God. In Hebrews 10:34, the writer writes, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. How can you rejoice at losing everything you own? He says right here, it's because you know something better is waiting for you. And that is something we've seen in their faith over and over and over again. And my faith has felt weak, and theirs has been strong, and that has carried me through a lot of this. And of course, many people are coming to the faith, coming to Christ through these challenges. There's nothing like losing everything you own to make you reconsider your priorities of life. And these ladies on the left were just baptized last Sunday at a new church plant in the city of Elbląg, Poland. This church plant is in partnership with a Polish church. They had a building in another city. It wasn't being utilized. And now there's a full-time Ukrainian minister there. And they've been meeting 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a little more, I'm not sure. They're already having success. They're already having crowds. It's a room. They have basically like a one-room schoolhouse set up that can fit 70 people. And on week two, they're like, we need a bigger boat. They need a bigger building. So good things are happening. I have a UBI alumnus in Ukraine who talked about how people are just so floored by the hospitality of the church, but the hospitality of strangers. They're letting strangers come into their home, which is very, if that's weird like all the time, it's really weird in Ukraine. You don't have strangers in your home. And so they're letting people sleep in their home as they're trying to make it to other places in Ukraine. And they say, why would you do this? And it gives them opportunity to tell them why. The family here on the right, it's the Shlapin family. Sergei was just a few years away from an earlier retirement because he's a miner. And miners have, you know, hard profession and they get out early. And just a few years shy of being able to do that, he lost everything that they had and evacuated his family to Poland. He's one of the few men that was allowed to leave because of exceptions. If you have 3 or more children, you are allowed to leave with your family, and he has 4. Their newest baby was born when the war was going on. His wife was in the hospital, and as things got closer and closer to where they lived in eastern Ukraine, they piled in a car with their 2-week-old baby and drove to Poland. The boy in the striped shirt, his name is Roma, and I was blessed to baptize Roma this last fall, and he is 16, and just a faithful, serious, awesome kid who is growing in his faith, already sharing lessons in their Ukrainian service that they do there, and so blessed to know families like that who are so faithful, and his dad, who's lost so much of what was coming, saying, I just want to be used for God. I just want to get out on the streets and evangelize. Give me a table so I can pass things out. He's just a passionate guy, and he's raising a faithful family, and it's such a blessing to know them. UBI has also been trying to help speak to the times and provide a way for people to be attracted to the church and the gospel through that. We have translated a book by a lady named Teresa Winnett about helping children during times of war, and she is now going and doing these little mini seminars in different churches around Europe and bringing in lots of non-Christians who are interested in hearing, yes, my child's suffering, tell me about this. And the churches have been enjoying partnering with her. We've just updated her book, and there's a second edition coming out. It's been very well received, and very excited about that. So in May, it was finally time to graduate what ended up being our three graduates. We had more in their class, but because of the war, certain people decided they moved away or they just decided, I can't do this anymore right now. So we had three graduates, and it was my first trip to go back to our home in Kyiv since we evacuated in February. We've had friends staying in our apartment. Our apartment's in fine shape. It's okay. There have been some things happen in our area, but our apartment is fine. And it was a big decision to go back, you know, because you ran away for a reason, and that reason hasn't really stopped, and so is it time to go back for a visit? And decided that it was. It had been very quiet in Kyiv for weeks and weeks and weeks at that point when we made the decision, and then about a week before it was time to go, started to get noisy again. But by that point, the Patriot missile defense systems were in place and seemed to be working. And so made the decision to go ahead and make the trip. And then on the train that night, and I was disconnected, there's, you know, bad signals on the train, so I didn't have any cell phone signal. I found out when I arrived, it was Russia's largest missile attack on Kyiv in the whole war, since the whole time. And so there were all these jokes when I arrived about how there were fireworks and special things set up just for me, and did I enjoy them? And I told everybody, I was on the train, and they're like, oh, you missed them. And it can only be joked about like that because Ukraine was able to intercept all of them. There was no big casualty. There were no problems. It was very strange to be there. It's very strange to be in a place where war is normal. And, you know, at night you don't know what's going to happen, but in the day the kids are going to school, people are going to work, and it's just a normal day outside. Four of the six nights that I was there, I did have to sleep in the corridor of our apartment because of the air raid sirens. You get an alarm on your phone. It shows you where in Ukraine the sirens are active, and then you pray. Then you pray. And four of the six nights there were sirens. Two of the nights there were explosions that were intercepted. And I'm grateful for that. But those interceptions, especially when there are a lot of them, those cause damage. And people have died simply because of falling debris and things like that. But I was there for graduation, and graduation ended up being such a blessing. It was the first kind of big social event our sphere of people had in a while, and they were very excited to celebrate together. Our theme for the day was Isaiah 42:16. I will turn their darkness before them into light. And it felt very, very appropriate. We had current students attend, and then we also invited as many of these new ministry partners as could come to come and enjoy the day with us and report on their experiences through our partnership. And one minister, his name is Nazar, I think this is him right here, yes, said, when people come to church and they receive this physical help, they get an opportunity to receive spiritual help as well. And many people who receive help from us, both locals and refugees, continue to attend our church. So people are listening to sermons and they're beginning to worship God in truth for our congregation. This has given us life. It's given us air to breathe. Just from these grocery packages. So that was a real blessing to hear, and that was one of many similar things we heard. These are the two men that graduated. They're in Ukraine, and then there was a young woman, and she joined us on Zoom. And they are already active in their full-time ministries, and just very proud of those guys. Also, we're not big on forcing the American flag on the Ukrainian Bible Institute, but this year the Ukrainian said we have to have the flag. Because America has partnered with us in all of these important ways, and we want to honor that relationship. So I thought that was really special. There's Alina joining us from Ireland, where she evacuated to through a program there. All right, briefly, I want to just let you know where the school is going. And I'm pretty sure it was 2 years ago when I was here, I told you, we're talking about this, we're thinking about this. What is UBI supposed to be moving forward? And we had ideas I shared with you, and that was before a war started. And the war has made us rethink everything, but also, it's hard making changes. And one of the blessings that's come about because of this war is we've kind of can make all the changes we want. It's a new start, a fresh start. And so we've been asking ourselves the question, if UBI never existed and we were tasked to start a Bible Institute now, in this current situation, what would it look like? What would be different? And so thinking about our values, well, we want to train our students in facts and knowledge about God's Word, but we don't want to only do that because knowledge puffs up for sure. We want our students to be able to acquire practical ministry skills so that they can be effective doers of the word. But not just that either, because too many ministers know their Bibles and are true, faithful, active servants, but they're running on empty spiritually. And we want our students to have a personal relationship with God. We want to create a program that trains faithful, confident disciples of Christ who know how to lead others, but also know how to lead themselves, and teaching others how to lead as well. UBI has always sought to do this in different ways, but I feel like now what we're doing is kind of rebalancing the portfolio after all of these years and making sure certain things are getting the right attention. And so after a lot of prayer and thinking and seeking advice, this fall we are making some pretty big changes. We're seeking to equally focus on the head, the hands, and the heart of our students. And one of the big ways we're changing the schedule is for all of its history and for most of Bible schools is a two-year program. You have fall, spring, and the fall, spring. And we are chopping off the last spring. UBI is going to be an 18-month program, which we've had too many long breaks and a weird schedule, so we just had the time, and we thought, why make it longer than it needs to be? But also, through doing that, we're going to offer a 6-month internship for those students who are willing and able to do that, where they can partner with our alumni on the ground in churches, continuing education online with us, but getting practical skills that they want, and then being a blessing to our graduates, our former students, who often feel very alone in the work that they're participating in. So very excited about that. We are going to include a constant spiritual formation part of their study. Every week they're going to be having classes about growing spiritually, and they're going to be comfortable with prayer and different kinds of prayer and spiritual disciplines. This is very important to me, and I want it to be very important for them. It's a hole that I've seen in the system for a while, and I want our ministers to be personally, spiritually healthy. We are going to incorporate mentors through our alumni as well, and partnering, especially at a time when everything is online, wanting to make sure our students are as healthy as possible. Residential school will always be our focus, but for the foreseeable future, we are online like so many other people are. And I can't deny the opportunities online has given us. This last year, we had students joining us from Ukraine, from Poland, from Ireland, from Germany, and from Belgium. And we will continue moving forward in the future, having an opportunity for people to join us online. So some of these changes begin this September, but it's going to take a couple of years to get them all going. I want to thank you for your constant support. It's been 12 years this church has been behind us, and you have followed us on quite a journey, and we are grateful for that, and we couldn't be doing what we're doing if it wasn't for you. And even though things have been so hard, and we have been so low, the church continues to be a light inside and outside Ukraine, and it's because of partnerships like this that that can happen. I am touched by the faith of Ukrainians during this dark time. When we see that they, it said in Hebrews 10 that they rejoiced losing everything because they know of what's waiting for them. And James 1, 2 through 3 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." When we know God's promises, we can do hard things. We can. It's a lesson I'm trying to learn every day, but really believe in the words that that His power is made perfect in my weakness. Because if there's one thing I've learned over the last year and a half, I am a very weak person. And God is working through the faith when all we have in our hands is what we know of His promises. And that's a lesson I see and that I've learned from watching Ukrainians, and I hope it's something that you've seen in these few slides that I've shared, and I don't know how that applies to you in your life, but God's power is made perfect when we can't do it. And that goes right along with what Steve was saying in his application in his Bible class this morning, which was great. And so please be praying for Ukraine. Our prayer almost every day is that God ends this war in whatever way He needs to as soon as possible. But for the time being, we pray that God's people can be faithful and be a light in the ways that they need to be until we're blessed with that end. And of course after that, but until we're blessed with that end. So please hold on to the hope of those promises, the hope that Hebrews 6 says is an anchor. Do you have that hope? Do you feel lost and all you have are God's promises? Are those promises an anchor for you? Are they a true anchor in your life? Thank you so much for your constant care. Thank you for your messages. Thank you for your fundraisers that have blessed our students in many different ways. We are grateful to know you. I'd like to say a prayer right now, and then we will have a song of invitation. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the reminder of the big things that you're doing through the tragedy in Ukraine. I thank you that you've blessed our family in a way that allows us to take part in that, and pray that you give us strength as we continue to move forward. Thank you so much for this congregation, and I pray for their journey of faith. I'm grateful for their partnership, but I also pray for their work here, their work in this city, their work with their neighbors and through their tragedies and their struggles and their lives here. Thank you for giving us a hope that gets us through every day, even though we don't understand what tomorrow may bring. We praise you, Father. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have something that you need to share, if you are touched by the gospel that is seen through these Ukrainians, if you have specific prayer requests, I invite you to come now as we stand and sing this song together.